Thank you, Alberta. So as Alberta said, my name is Ami Shah. I'm currently at the Los Angeles County Department of Health Services. I'm actually here with my colleagues, and had I known I had more time, I would have totally involved them. So Brandy Sankey is here, as well as Minerva Kano, I think back there, and Ashley Anyakwo. Is she here? No, Anyakwo? No. So we have three CHWs who are also here, and I'd love to have them. If you have a chance, talk to them. I'll tell you some of their stories as I go. So a little bit of background. I just want to go through some background. I'm going to tell you what we're doing in Los Angeles County, share some of our approaches and the design to our work, and then lessons that we've learned. So as many of you know, the background of why we need to do this is not just because CHWs are incredibly valuable, but there is this push towards cost efficiency. So the top 5% of Medicaid expenditures are accounted for 50% of Medicaid expenditures. I'm sorry, the top 5% of the population that is served is actually accounted for 50% of the Medicaid expenditures. This is something a lot of people have seen before, I'm sure, and the CMS demonstration projects currently in place are also evaluating the impact of such interventions on how CHWs can impact this particular group. So what contributes to premature death and disability? This is also sort of from the public health perspective. We know that healthcare alone is not enough, so CHWs play a valuable role there. But also from a provider perspective, we know that there was a survey done by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation of primary care providers, and they also admit that they don't feel confident in their capacity to meet these social needs. And we believe that this actually impedes their ability to provide quality care. So they know that, which is not always seen, actually, when we are starting to integrate and talking to providers. But there is this underlying knowledge of that. And so the Los Angeles County, we were blessed by our Board of Supervisors, who actually decided that they wanted to develop the workforce in the county. There were two supervisors in particular that were honing in on the South LA and the East LA area, which is the areas that have the lowest socioeconomic status of the county. And so while the system is quite integrated and large, it has 19 clinics and 4 different hospitals, we're actually honing in on 5 specific clinics where we're starting this pilot project of integrating community health workers. So the funding is coming from the county itself. So these are not soft money. I think we're really proud of the fact that the system is actually investing in 50 CHWs. I think that's, again, I'm going to say that it's like they're investing in 50 CHWs. We started with 25 in the first year. Yeah, I mean, I really commend the Board of Supervisors for doing this. And we just happen to be at a unique time where the system also is really interested in not just the workforce development piece, but also the idea of improving the quality of care. And so we see CHWs as conduits of making that happen. These guys are, you know, we talk about agents of change. And so the training, we also, at the same time as we've employed them, we reached out to some of our local funders to help with the evaluation piece and the training, because we knew that that wasn't something that the system had funding for. So our partners there are the California Endowment, the Healthcare Foundation, and UCLA. So our aims, as I mentioned, is to reduce costs. And I don't know if we're actually reducing costs, but actually shifting costs. Obviously, to reduce utilization of acute care, again, that 5%, what are they actually doing and how can we improve their quality of care instead of going to the high-touch areas, but actually going to primary care. Workforce development is a very big part of our aims. And then this quality piece. So where can we have our patients be happier, our providers have greater satisfaction? Again, in a safety net system, provider retention is really important. And to integrate this throughout so that the CCP program, which we're calling the Care Connections Program, that's what we're calling it, is actually linking together the mental health, the behavioral health pieces, as well as the public health. So there's a lot of parts to it. So I want to talk a little about how we built our team. We recruited and trained from the community, just as most of you would do. Like, you go to the communities and find out who would be good community health workers. It's a huge process. I think it took over 9 months to actually find our the ones that we honed in on, 25 of them. So there was 200 applicants. You know, a really intense 1 month training with our first cohort, from which we actually hired 18, and then the second cohort because we realized we didn't have enough Spanish speaking CHWs. And then ended up doing a 1 week training because we realized that 1 month is really intense. I mean, just a little background, what happened was CHWs were where people were approached and said, would you be interested in doing this? They came on board and they were trained for a whole month, and actually some of them left their jobs so that they could attend this. But then the hiring process within the system was so long that it took almost 6 months before they actually were onboarded. So it was a little bit, we really put them at odds, I think. And so we wanted to do it better the next time. And again, we're going to be doing another round of hiring this coming year in 2016. And again, we'll do it better then. So we're learning as we go. So extensive training, just as my former panelists had said, a lot of motivational interviewing, health coaching, understanding stages of change, home safety when you're in the community, and then really thinking about the medication issues. So that's actually ongoing as well. So we did some preliminary training on the medical pieces of it, but then that's continuing with support from the clinic staff and some internal, the medical director on our team. We also have developed a pretty solid protocol system to it, so we're probably a little bit more protocolized than most, but I think that's helped to standardize some of our work. And so we've got these processes of how do you do hospital to home, so there's like a 72-hour turnaround, or emergency room, when someone hits the emergency room, how do our CHWs know, and then what do they actually do with them? We have these set conversations that have also been established, so they're guides, but they're also as a means of having that delivery of care be standardized. They also do a survey, a comprehensive survey, just as, again, the panelists mentioned earlier, that CHWs can identify mental health needs. They can identify housing needs, things that sometimes the provider just doesn't have time to understand and fully get the big picture. Some of our CHWs have identified low literacy, or somebody needed glasses and the provider had no idea, they couldn't actually see. So we've seen these types of things evolve, and some of it's from the survey and some of it's just from their own intuition of getting to know the patient. Here they are. This is during the first month of their employment. There's 16 of them currently in that picture. We have 25 that are actually permanently now part of the system. They've all come with tremendous life experience as part of the hiring. We looked at not only where they come from, but their ability to connect, their ability to relate. Is it that family member that you could count on to be there for you? And you want to be able to say, this would be my sister or my brother that I would want to be with me as I go along in my healthcare. And those people that you'd want to go out to lunch with, like that one person you can connect with right away. And that's a really unique skill. I don't know if everyone has that. And sometimes it wasn't necessarily like a direct match to the community, but we wanted to have that skill. And as I mentioned, we're in East LA and South LA. There's 3 in East and 2 in South LA. So that's sort of the setup. And then the approach is sort of the medical home. The county is starting to form medical homes, which includes a medical assistant, a nurse, a CHW, having a social worker on hand. And so that team is part of this PCMH, this is what we call primary care medical home, is connecting to this central hub of what we're calling this complex care management team, which is who we are. Again, that's evolving as well. We would like to have that kind of home at each of the clinics. It's not quite there yet, but that CHW is connecting now. So in some cases, we provide that support as a central hub because we're a new innovation. So we have a social worker on board, we have a physician on board that provides that kind of support. The CHW is being trained by them, and then handholds between the RN that's at the, or the PCP, that PCP team, the primary care medical home team, and us, and or if there are us-like on staff. So if there's behavioral health and social workers on staff, how can we connect them directly, but have them work with the CHW? So again, there's a lot of education of the role going on. So that's how we've done the design in terms of embedding them. The role of the CHW, again, as many of you have seen and talked about already, the connectors, right? They connect to services, they navigate outside of the clinic, within the clinic. We really are also pushing this referral outside of existing social services that oftentimes the health system is not connected to, especially in a place like Los Angeles, which is so big, so many players in the field. Like MLK Hospital just opened. How do they now make inroads into breaking down their walls and actually connecting with the social service agencies that are outside, the reentry programs for people that are coming out of jail? There's all these different resources, and so how do we connect? And our CHWs are doing that. They're also doing, as I mentioned, the engagement, the accompaniment, so important because so many of our patients are viewed as being non-compliant, right? The providers all say that they don't follow up, they don't come in, but a lot of times it's because they aren't able to make that connection in 15 minutes. But the CHW is bringing them back. And we've already seen in just 6 months of the CHWs in the field, providers have given that feedback to us. My patient's actually following instructions. They actually understand what's going on. Same thing, chronic disease support, health coaching. So, yeah, we've had the same thing where one of our CHWs in just 3 months started walking with the patient around the clinic. Eventually took them to the park, and we have these little machines out there, so they started using those. And the patient lost 35 pounds in 3 months. So we're seeing this type of impact slowly. We're just starting, so our documentation and evaluation of that is not as formalized just yet, but it will be. Care transition support, I know several of us, my CHWs here, have made several visits to the emergency rooms, to the hospitals, making sure that the discharge papers come back to the primary care providers and they know what to do afterwards. So all of these are happening. Advanced illness support, we've also seen that. I know that's a conversation we're just starting to have as well. Like, many of the primary care providers aren't even talking about that with their patients, and these are high-risk patients that will be facing something. We've actually lost 4 or 5 patients already in just 6 months, you know. So that's a really important thing. How do you have our CHWs trained in understanding, not just talking about that with their patients prior to getting to that point, but the families? And then they actually sometimes get in the mix of that where they're negotiating that at that point in time. In fact, one of our CHWs is so honored to actually, he's a minister on the side and was invited after this patient had passed away to come and do the service. So again, that engagement's working, and that's what we're seeing, that the families are really connecting to them as well. So how do we identify our high-risk population? This isn't something, you know, we have 25, and as you can imagine, Los Angeles County, as I mentioned, it's 670,000 people that we have visits. There's just no way to touch them all, so we had to hone in on that 5%. And to identify them, we came up with this mathematical algorithm. We went into the EMR. You know, just coded based on, this is, you know, sort of a lot of math. It's basically a lot of comorbidities. So you have multiple comorbidities and you've had frequent visits to the ED or the hospital. We did have providers after that review the list, and that was just to ensure that those patients that, you know, maybe they have cancer. So they weren't preventable visits, but they were actually going because they were supposed to be going. So we wanted to sort of remove them if, in fact, this wasn't something that the CHW would play a good role, wasn't a good fit for. This is just, again, some data to show you that we did indeed capture that high-risk population, to show you that this is compared to California, that our group is actually 3 times as likely to hit the emergency room and 3 times as likely to have a hospital admission compared to those that are in just regular patients going to all California hospitals. This is the program overview. It's like the flow of how it works. So once the patient's selected, the CHW receives a list, and they start with their patients. We help them prioritize based on whether they had just recently hit the emergency room or not, or hospital, so that care transition piece. If that's there immediately, then they go start with them. If not, then they start with those patients that will be coming in for their visits. Oftentimes they come in pretty frequently, you know, every 2 to 3 months, sometimes 6 months if they're doing well. But the engagement piece starts, and that can start at the hospital, the clinic, or just their regular PCP visit. So they introduce themselves, they talk about the program, but we really encourage them to not really separate it, but instead say, you know, I'm part of the PCMH team. I think early on our CHWs were very used to calling it a special program. And I think we actually talked about it that way, but as we start to integrate, we're trying to change that language. So they conduct a survey within the first couple of months, ideally, and that helps then guide the care plan. That survey results are being summarized then and reported back to the EMR and given to the PCMH team so that they can start to prioritize health goals. Again, sometimes we might identify something from our survey that wasn't identified from the PCP so that they might want to change their plans too in terms of what to do next. They accompany and they go through all the routine visits, follow-up assessments, and step down. We haven't gotten to the step down yet, but we will start to tier. Again, we're very new in this project. We're 6 months in. But we will have the step down process where eventually if their care goals are started being managed, and that we can then move them into a place where we're just watching them and don't have to have that routine checkup, because we eventually want to get our CHWs to a caseload of about 50. So just some quick outcomes. You know, this is really anecdotal. Again, we haven't done a formal assessment, but we will be. Our evaluation plan is to have focus groups with the providers, as well as interviewing the CHWs and our patients. So we've seen already greater provider satisfaction, where the CHWs are feeling, the providers are feeling the CHWs are actually helping them be more efficient, and that they're able to serve their needs much better as a result. Because our patients trust the CHW, they now trust me. As I mentioned, the CHWs have identified, a couple of quick stories. The CHW had helped a patient get an artificial leg, and then the patient actually got home. While they were getting fitting, they fell again. So they ended up in PT. And when they were going to the rehab facility, they realized that the patient's PT hadn't been coming. So we were, a little bit mortified, but it seemed as if they were supposed to come and just hadn't been. So the CHW actually became an advocate in this particular rehab facility, which wasn't affiliated with DHS, but brought that to our attention, and so it became sort of an issue of quality, and also then figuring out our contracts, who are we talking to, and how can we start to be on top of that. They're identifying things, they're sort of, in a safety net system, there's a lot of, I think, rocks that are left unturned over, and so not only are they helping to bridge things, but then they're turning over things that we hadn't seen before, and they're helping us to do that better. So there's trust that they're building. See, a lot of patients tell us that we don't trust the system. There's a lot of distrust from our communities. A lot of patients I've heard from our CHWs that don't even feel comfortable talking to their providers. And then I hear from the CHW later that some providers, this provider in particular, he had been talking to his patient, just kind of rudely, and the CHW actually noticed that. Like, the provider just doesn't seem to connect, and he's always in a rush. Now, having worked together for 6 months, the patient actually told him, "Oh my God, the provider's so nice to me." So they're having this influence in ways that you wouldn't even imagine. It's really hard to document that, but I think there's a culture shift occurring. So medication adherence, again, the CHWs are creating little packets for the patient that couldn't read. We didn't know that the patient couldn't read, but so she creates little designs of sun and moon and when to take their medication. So they're really tailoring services. Again, they're integrating, and we're starting to see some patient activation and empowerment, which I think is really vital. So just quick lessons learned. From the hiring process, clear role delineation is important. Ongoing training and professional development and supervision is key. We centralized our training, which I think we're going to continue to do. It was something we had talked about, how to, should we do it system-wide or not. But we're probably going to centralize because we want to have it standardized across the clinics. There's so much variability across all the clinics that I don't think we can start to say, you guys take care of it. We are starting to think about on-site supervision, and again, that becomes, I think, some of the other sites that have been doing this longer than us have alluded to that, too. We'd love to learn from you on how to do that best. But we are starting to understand, too, that we work within a hierarchical culture, which I think we all know that we work in silos as a healthcare system and that there is a hierarchy, doctor, nurse, et cetera. But breaking that down is something that we need to do, and the CHWs, I think, are at the forefront of that. They come up against it all the time, but I think they'll be the leaders for us. Again, design is really important. We had champions that we had thought we identified were champions, but learned eventually that they were just really excited about the program, but not necessarily influential enough to make the change, and we really needed those influential people. Those ended up seeing value from the CHWs beyond site as they started to get that buy-in. They saw the value, and then they became the champions. So now we have people coming to us saying, "When can I get a CHW to work with me?" Again, the re-education and education of CHW roles constantly. I'm starting to learn that, especially in such a big system, that we're going to have to do some PR work. Acceptability of staff can vary, again, depending on culture and context. Again, I mentioned this, that each site is so different, so that sometimes culture can actually eat strategy for lunch, and that's the piece about culture change that was so important. There is this tension sometimes for the CHW of feeling like I need to be an advocate versus how do I not, but also be on the same team as my PCMH team. And I've heard that too as their supervisor, that sometimes I hear them talk about, well, the provider didn't do this right, and I'm like, okay, but you're on the same team, you have to remember that. And I also have seen our CHWs evolve from being that really strong advocate, but also to start to have some humility in understanding that how the health system works, and that the health system also has its challenges, and the provider's doing the best they can, just as you are. And so how can you actually work with your provider to sort of enhance what they're doing, and be on their side, but also be on the patient's side, because ultimately it's all about patient safety and providing the best care for them. So lastly, you know, we just wanted to drive home that, you know, we're really proud of LA County. The Department of Health Services is driving big change. They are, the CHWs obviously play a valuable role, but they're also at the frontier of making the system be patient-centered. It's not just the providers that are doing this. The CHWs, we think, are going to be at the frontier. Innovation is exciting, but change is hard. We're, again, 6 months in, but it's going to take some time. And I try to hold on to the little wins and just bank on those. And that this is an iterative learning process, so we're changing as we go. It's not, we are doing a study and evaluation and so forth, but we're constantly changing that only because we have to, because we want it to, we want this to work. And so feasibility is really important to us. So just want to acknowledge everyone that the Board of Supervisors, certain the CHWs in this room, but also those back home, and the various players that are on our team. So thank you.